Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
How much, Ed? How are you?
I'm doing
just at all.
This week. And, Katrina, what's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. Shut this shit off.
Shut what off? You talking about, like, the greatest song to ever hit the airwaves? That's going to crack the top 40 in the UK, the top 40.
That didn't say much for people in the UK.
Actually, I just clicked it off and it's still playing. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I better hit mute here. I just hit fucking mute. What the fuck? Okay. Well, anyway, guys, how did you guys enjoy WrestleMania? Because I'm pretty sure everyone knows that I had a good time since I was the only one of the three of us that was there live.
I liked it. It was fine. It was a show.
You guys sound very, very enthused about it.
I enjoyed it. The best show ever. Not the best,
well,
but not far from the worst.
Yeah, that's true. There's been worse. I mean, it was all right. I mean, there was really only one really, when you look at it, one really great match, and maybe a couple okay ones, but that was about it. But we'll go ahead and we'll break down all the matches first, and then I'll get to all the backstage stories and all the news from behind the scenes. So, do either of you guys have a list of the matches that were on WrestleMania?
Give me just a second. I'll take care of that. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
We talk about all the behind the scenes stuff and who didn't shake whose hand and all that stuff, huh?
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about all that because it was awesome.
Okay.
Oh man, let's just say this past weekend I was one dip flying limousine ride in front of a gun. But yeah, we'll get to all the crazy stuff, and there's a lot of stories because there was 4 days worth of stuff. I got like a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, there was so much shit going on; it was crazy. I mean, you should be really disappointed you chickened out this year, Craig.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know what? I'll make up for it next year. No big thing. Everything was on pay-per-view anyway. Anything I wanted to see, I could have seen.
Except the finish of the ROH event.
Yeah, I saw enough of it to figure it out. So
you didn't see all the wackiness at WrestleCon. That's what you didn't see.
No, I didn't. But you got to take the good with the bad on that.
And there was some good and bad.
You want to start with that show, or should we start with the Friday night show and go in kind of a chronological order?
I guess we can do that, but speaking of the ROH show, it was incredible being in the Hammerstein I mean, I was just marking out just for being in that building. I sat pretty much toward, like, the second row from the end. Me and Daz were just chilling out. But there were still good seats. I mean, that place is, like, really cool, really loud. And that was a pretty good show, and a pretty long show, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep talking. I still have to find it.
Well, then why'd you bring that one up if you weren't prepared, Craig?
Well, I would like to be prepared if I didn't know what we were doing, you know, earlier until today. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen like that, and I actually have to go and, you know, find it off your page.
I figure we all know what we're doing today.
You know, like, it was going to be a hard show to do. Basically talk about WrestleMania and then let Ed talk the rest of the show. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, complicated. Now everything's all awkward and people are freaking out. And
no, nobody's freaking out, just you.
Nobody's listening.
That's true.
But I'll start before Ring of Honor. We have everybody from the website met at this little place called La Lucha, which was this tiniest little place. I mean, it couldn't have been more than 12 feet wide or the across or whatever. And But Court Bauer, from a former WWE writer, Court Bauer, set up this little dinner for us. And I guess there was about 20-something people. Not a whole lot. A few people kind of saw how cramped it was and went and had lunch elsewhere. But I got to meet, like, a bunch of people from the board, and that was awesome. And the food was awesome. They had some awesome tacos. You could ask Vinny Craig. Craig, you could ask Vinny, because Vinny, like, tore up those tacos. I think he ate more than everybody there. And it was a cool little time. And then it's like, if you heard the Brian and Vinny show and you heard Brian ripping on the cab drivers, that was the first incident when we were at La Lucha. And we're not that far from freaking the Hammerstein or Madison Square Garden. And we get in the cab and the guy asks us for the address for the Madison Square Garden, which you would think the cab driver was driving tourists around would know how to get to Madison Square Garden. It was like, what the fuck?
He must have just come over on the boat.
Something. I mean, and all the cab drivers like that. I mean, in Vegas, it's like you say where you want to go and you're there. In New York, which I thought would be the exact same way because everybody drives by taxi, hell no. But are you ready, Craig?
Yeah, I've got a rundown of the ROH show, but I don't have the winners and losers, so I'll do my best to remember.
Did you watch the pay-per-view, Craig?
Yes, I did, but okay. That was about a week ago. That was a great pay-per-view. Really enjoyed it. That's $15 you can spend on wrestling. It's not to mention I now have something called Apple TV where I can basically throw up anything on my iPad or my iPhone or whatever, I can throw it up onto my big screen. So it's like watching a pay-per-view, you know, on TV. So it's pretty awesome. Anyway, first matchup was ACH and Tadarius Thomas. They beat God's Gift QT Marshall and the mystery partner who was, I can't remember the kid's name, but he's the band leader in Chikara.
He's also, like, Rodney and Pete's, like, favorite manager.
Oh, yeah. He's phenomenal.
RD something, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, he kept the most awesome promo. I mean, it was a long, long-ass promo, but he was, like, teasing Tanahashi. He was teasing Von Erich. He was teasing Emilio Estevez. And finally, he announced himself, and he actually did a pretty decent match. It was a cool match because it was like the one black guy who's the initials, I don't even know what they are. He really got to look really good doing all his flying shit and all his stuff. And at the same time, it was a hell of a comedy match because that manager dude is just fucking funny as shit. And he was actually the biggest dude in the match, which was even more funnier.
Yeah, tallest.
Yeah, but it was a cool little match.
We then had Shelton Benjamin facing Mike Bennett.
He was supposed to face Charlie Haas. Charlie Haas, but the little lumberjack dude decided to pick a fight and kept fucking with Charlie, and Charlie tried to tried to ignore him as much as he could. I think Grizzly Rizman, like, even, like, snatched his beanie or cap or whatever and then, like, threw it on the ground and just kept on. But I think he thought Charlie was drunk or something. And then they got into it, and for some reason, Grizzly Redwood decided to shoot and go for a double leg on Charlie Haas. And he just got kneed in the face big time, and then the Delirious came in, and then that's when all the shit broke down that you heard about, like, about a week ago.
With drunk amateur wrestlers. So.
Right? And especially when you're, like, outweighed by, like, 100 pounds. I mean, Jesus Christ, I don't know what the hell Grizzly Redwood was thinking.
Yeah. It was a fine match. Mike Bennett won.
What happened was, like, Shelton started putting over some little black dude named Cheeseburger.
Yep.
I guess he's like the new Mickey Whipwreck or something. And then Mike Bennett makes a surprise appearance along with Maria, who was looking fine. And finally making the WrestleMania weekend show Brutal Bob Evans. And he looked like he was very happy, even though he's very unattractive. But they started talking, and that Cheeseburger kind of, like, stood up for himself, and then Mike Bennett just slapped the shit out of him, and then they got rid of him, and then him and Shelton had a decent match. Shelton got to fill some boobs and some other stuff, and so I'm sure he had a fun night, and but it was pretty good.
Yeah, good match. Good match. Next up, we had I'm probably going out of order here, but Team ROH versus Team Scum, it was fine. Ed, how would you describe this match? It was
okay. It was okay. They got the heat on Mike Mondo forever.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they got the heat on him, but, like, everybody got their little shine in. Mark actually didn't get a whole lot in. I was kind of surprised about that. I figured they'd have him be, like, the star of the match. But it was just there. It was just there to set up for later on. And, but, I mean, it was cool. I mean, it wasn't nothing bad. I will say that at first I was like, where the fuck's Steve Corino? And then I'm like, wait a minute, is Steve Corino talking?
Yes.
Because he doesn't look anything like Steve Corino anymore.
And he's fabulous on the mic, no matter what Todd Martin says about him.
He was great. He was great.
Losing
charisma. Oh, we'll talk more about Tom Martin later, but
yeah. Next matchup was Machine Gun Carl Anderson versus Roderick Strong. This match was pretty darn awesome.
And it was kind of short. I mean, I wish they would have had at least 5, maybe 7, 8 more minutes. I mean, they were really trying to. It was like watching Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin, just two dudes just hitting the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it's good match. Carl Anderson won this one.
Yeah, so that's the one thing I don't like. My one friend in ROH now that's left, it seems like he has a job every WrestleMania weekend. Poor Roddy.
That might be true. Real surprising match up next, Michael Elgin versus Jay Lethal. This match was really good.
Yeah, and that was actually before Roderick and the intermission. But, it was a good match. It actually started off where it just didn't seem like it was, I don't want to say not clicking, but just like it was just kind of so-so. But then it got really good. And it wasn't as good as the Elgin-Davey match from last year, but it was pretty good. I mean, Lethal was awesome. Elgin was doing all his power shit. And it was a good match. It was a good match, and then Scum came in and fucked them both up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great match. This whole pay-per-view was good. You should go out of your way to see it. Matt Taven with Truth Martini wrestled Adam Cole. And self-proclaimed icon, Matt Hardy, is a three-way for the ROH TV Championship. And Matt Taven retained the title.
The best part of the matches was that Truth Martini cut an awesome promo before the match. And then Carino cut another promo before the match. And they were actually the highlights. And dude, who's that chick with that Matt Taven dude?
They called her Scarlet, as I remember. And I don't know if it's a gimmick where they have a different girl each week with Truth, but she was the Hoopla Honey. is what they're calling her, and she's just all kinds of skanky. But anyway.
Well, I will say that one thing that we didn't mention earlier is during the skull match, they took out Kevin Kelly's announce partner.
Yes.
So then Nigel came out. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, she just basically molested Nigel at the broadcast booth and distracted everybody and took off her shirt, revealing a sequinsed bra, and Nigel was flustered. And anyway, good stuff.
Yeah, Nigel is one lucky dude.
She is very attractive.
The match is okay. Adam Cole looked awesome. Hardy, he looked all right. I mean, he didn't look bad. And that Matt Taven, I wasn't expecting too much, but he was okay. It was kind of like Night of Push the Young Guys on ROH tonight.
Yeah. And the tag team championship match was Red Dragon, which is Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, versus the American Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. This was a heck of a match. Loved this match.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, they beat the shit out of Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, it was almost almost anticlimactic the way it finished with O'Reilly just getting a roll up to win it after everything that they fucking did to him. But he did have the tights, and then Davey played it off like he couldn't believe he got pinned in. But they beat the shit out of each other. I mean, this was the best match of the show by far, as far as matches. I mean, and I'd go out of my way I would tell people to go out of their way to see this one because it was really, really good.
There was a couple of spots. They did some great double team spots, but one of them, the Wolves ended up outside, and Bobby Fish, I don't know how to explain it, but he was on the outside of the ring on the apron and then leapt over the turnbuckles, you know, by the post and in between the ring. He leapt over that and, like, went straight down with almost like a swanton on top of Edwards. And then just as he was finishing that, Kyle O'Reilly blew by on the ring apron, jumped off and drop-kicked Davey through the guardrail. It was pretty insane.
Yeah, it was a crazy match.
Great match. And then in the main event, Jay Briscoe beat Kevin Steen to become the new ROH World Champion. And I've never seen people more happy.
It was a big upset because I didn't notice the Briscoe family, or else I would have thought maybe something was up. But it was a decent match, and, you know, it wasn't like the greatest match. It was decent, and then they had, like, you know, they had where, like, I guess first Jimmy Jacobs came out, and then Mark came out and beat him up, and then there was another attack, and they came and cleared them out, and then a little later the whole locker room came to surround the ring. And then Scum came out, so they all attacked, and that's when Matt Hardy dove in and was going to fuck up Jay. And then for some reason, Kevin Steen turned on Scum and threw Matt Hardy out, but then he got caught in the Jay driver. And Jay won. The place went crazy because they weren't expecting it. And then you had a bunch of babies in the ring, and Papa Briscoe, drunk Papa Briscoe, with one baby in one hand and piss pumping in the other hand, and Leonard Skinner. I mean, it was crazy. I was getting ready for him to toss a baby 10 feet in the air. I mean, it was a great scene. It's one of those, like, magic scenes, you know what I mean? It was just really great.
Yeah, it was a good match. It wasn't, you know, spectacular or anything like that, but it was a good match, and the right man won, I'll just say that.
Yeah, so it was great. I mean, just being in that building was great. I mean, everything about that show was awesome. I mean, the only thing that had me worried was right before the show is, like, I had arranged to, for a while it was looking like I was going to need an extra ticket because it looked like a friend of mine was going to go, but then she didn't make it. So I had already had an extra ROH ticket set up, and then this one guy, Derek Garvey, was asking if anyone had an extra, so I was like, okay, well, I'll sell him that one, so I had to find a guy that I never met before or seen to find and get his ROH ticket, and then find another guy who I never met or seen before and give him the ROH ticket and sell him. And one foot gotten lost, and I was just praying he'd get there before the bell sounded. But everything worked out all right, and it was you know, everybody got to see the show. And the only negative of the show is that day when we left pretty early to go into New York. it was kind of cool, but I went basically, you know, I'm in Texas. I'm already, the summer's already upon us here in Texas, so I was going out to enjoy this last week of winter in New York. So it was kind of cool in the morning, so I just went in shorts and a T-shirt, and everyone was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm a man. I can handle the cold. I mean, I'm actually ready to enjoy it. So we take off. Everyone's got their coats. It's cool in the morning, afternoon. It's a little warmer. The sun is shining. Everyone's, like, taking their coats off. Everyone's overdressed. I'm, like, doing great. Before the ROH show, it's kind of cool. Not too much. By the time we got out of ROH, like, 12:30 or whatever it was, it dropped, like, fucking 30, 40 degrees, and the wind was out, and I was freezing my damn ass off while everybody was cool in their jackets and stuff. So for two blocks till we got to the train station, I thought I was going to fucking die like Jack Nicholson in the Shining. But it was a good night.
Very cool.
Okay.
So I guess we can talk about WrestleMania now, if you're prepared, Craig.
I am prepared for WrestleMania. The setup for this was awesome. I was, seeing pictures tweeted and everything beforehand, but when it was all came together, the set just looked amazing. Huge Statue of Liberty on the riser above the ring and the Brooklyn Bridge and the Empire State Building. By the way, I know I couldn't have been the only one that wanted to see this, but I really wanted to see Mark Henry scale that thing.
Why, he's a monkey because he's black?
Yeah. What? No. Or the Ryback, or both.
That's the most racist thing you ever say, Craig.
How dare you? Anyway, I couldn't have been the only one that put two and two together. But, alas.
That would have brought that matchup 3 stars.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, so the first matchup, and I'm looking for it here, The Miz defeated the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett. And I'm not sure why.
And God was upset about this and started raining on us because The Miz won the title.
It didn't make no sense next night.
Dude, I'm kind of hearing a delay. Are you guys hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
so maybe
no problem. I'm sorry, anyway.
At this point, I knew we were in an outdoor stadium, so I brought a long-sleeve shirt, but I still left my windbreaker in the room because I was like, I can handle this. No problem at all. And then we get inside the place, and you look up, and there's these dark-ass clouds, and then there's a drop here or a drop there, and then all of a sudden when the Miz wins, it turns into a drizzle. A drizzle of these giant raindrops. So I'm thinking I'm going to die tonight of hypothermia, and this is the end. But luckily, after about 5 minutes, it stopped and went away, and I didn't die or freeze to
death. The Lord was actually crying over the Miz's win.
How was the pre-show? Because we were pretty close to where Dusty and Kofi and them were. We could see, like, their backs.
Oh,
jeez.
The pre-show.
I actually like the stuff they do for, like, the, I didn't see the pre-show, but the post-show. It's kind of like a post-show, like a football game post-show with a JR and Dusty and all those guys. I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
They should do that more often.
It was fine because the pre-show was the exact same way. I didn't watch the post-show, but it looked like they had the, like, announce booth kind of there on the quote-unquote field, just like they do on the on the football games. And they had Kofi out there and JR and anyway. But it was fine, but the video promos were, you know, we had seen them already. And so...
Yeah, I didn't even watch the pre-show, to be honest.
Yeah, so it was, I don't know, it was kind of redundant and kind of silly because we'd seen it already.
Plus, they're going to show them again during WrestleMania because they showed all of them again during WrestleMania.
Exactly.
I didn't watch the pre-show because I like, and it's going to sound weird, but I like actually the pay-per-view being my first time I'm seeing, like, the whole set with all the people and stuff and kind of take away from watching, when I watch the pre-show or something like that from... that experience.
Yeah.
At least that's my thing.
I do like the transition when they're in the stadiums like that, when you see the first match and it's daylight and then it goes to, you know, the darker stadium. I think that's cool looking, but,
yeah,
you know.
Anyway, it seemed like we had either two full rows or two and a half, like, rows for our section. And, Frank, are you familiar with Shimmer's Jesse McKay?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, she was like three rows in front of us, and just happened to be there with tenants and tripped out. And but yeah, we had our section, we had a damn pole in our way, but it was only like, it took out like part of the ring, like one, it took out one a turnbuckle, but as low as we were, we still had to look at the big screen, so it didn't really bother me. I didn't make a big deal about it or get all upset about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to worry about that next year because we're in a dome stadium in New Orleans, and no reason to have the canopy over the ring next year. So should be good
Hopefully.
To go. Hopefully. Then started the WrestleMania show itself on pay-per-view. By the way, $69.99 on my cable provider.
Is that high definition or regular?
What do you think? Of course it's high definition. Nobody watches standard definition anymore. Yeah, so the first matchup was the Shield, and they defeated Randy Orton and the Big Show and Sheamus.
This was a good opener.
It was a good opener, and this is a match where they had to change something up to, like, you know, screw with the fans who's predicting, everyone's predicting Randy Orton was going to go heel, but they had the Big Show kind of go heel at the end of the match. Because he was angry that he kind of hawked it and ended up losing. But it was a decent match. It wasn't like nothing spectacular or great, but I mean, it was okay.
I thought there was nothing wrong with that. I thought it was a very good match, actually.
I'm actually really surprised how well booked they've done with the Shield so far. They haven't fucked it up at all.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match a lot. I thought it was really heelish of Randy to actually reach out and grab the tag from Cho. So I could still...
He kind of deserved it. He kind of deserved to get knocked out.
Absolutely. So, I'm hoping... I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's not like you couldn't turn Orton even now because he was acting like a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just my two cents. Let's see. Oh, this match. Mark Henry defeated the Ryback. The two worlds collide, and I now know if planets ever knock into each other, apparently they're just going to hold on. And and that's about it. This was no good.
Yeah, the only impressive thing is when you get Mark Henry up.
Oh, yeah.
Why he did it after he lost, I don't know. I don't know why they booked Mark Henry to win. Maybe just a frustration thing for Ryback's turn the next night.
I know
I wouldn't want to be in Ryback's face when Mark Henry came crashing down on top of him. At the end of the match, I mean, that was kind of scary. But, yeah, it wasn't that great. It was just there. It went longer than it should have, and... it would have been better if they would have scaled the Empire State Building or fought off the Brooklyn Bridge or something like that.
Yeah.
If they would have had maybe some gimmick like cars on the Brooklyn Bridge and they could have lifted up the cars and chunked them at each other, that would have been cool.
Okay, what was up next? The tag team match or Jericho and Fandango?
I don't know.
I think it was a tag match. I think the tag match was next, and Bryan Danielson finally got to win a match at WrestleMania, and they tried to play it off like they were going to reenact last year's, but
I know what they were doing right at the start with the kiss. So.
You could take them my way. By the way, it was Team Hell No, and they defeated Dolph Ziggler, Big E Langston. Everybody figured one of two things was happening: either Ziggy and Big E, not my words, theirs, were going to win the titles. And possibly Dolph cashing in, but Team Hell No kept the titles this night, And of course, we don't know what happened on Raw.
I actually prefer when he cashed it in on Raw just because of the crowd. I think it was
absolutely
a lot better than if it would have been in WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, a little swerve
they
like
exploded.
That, and then, yeah, that crowd went crazy. That was an awesome edition of Raw, by the way. Yes, no?
Yeah,
there we
good,
are.
Good.
Are you still with me? Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Next up, Fandango. He defeated Chris Jericho.
And he sold like 80% of this match. I mean, he got his ass kicked. But he had an awesome entrance. He had like a whole shitload of throw dancers. He had that Fandango statue that lights up for the fireworks and stuff. I mean, he's got a hell of an entrance. And then I don't know if people saw the video I posted on my Facebook where the only good thing that ever happened in in Houston, Texas, is that the Texan cheerleaders got together and did the Fandango dance.
Yes,
that's the greatest thing that ever happened for me.
I'm so hoping this character gets over like some kind of cult thing. It's going to be funny to me, you know?
Yeah.
Since everybody had my shit on it when you first started the whole gimmick.
By the way, if you go to the WWE site right now, there is a link where you can watch the full 3 hours the 2013 Hall of Fame. You can watch it on WWE.com, the WWE app, or Xbox Live.
Yeah, I just downloaded the WWE pay-per-view thing on Xbox. I downloaded it last night, and I think I'm going to check out the whole Hall of Fame here in a little bit.
Yeah, well, you guys need to check out the whole thing because that fucking, I didn't even see it, but I can tell you right now, it didn't do that Hall of Fame justice because.
No.
That was something else, but we'll get to that in a little bit here.
Yeah. Next up, we had Alberto Del Rio, and he defeated Jack Swagger, much to the chagrin of every smart mark in the world.
You know something's fucked up when you can't even get your entrance on WrestleMania.
Well, that's the thing, because it looked like they were getting ready to do his entrance, because him and Zed were, like, in some kind of Jeep thing, and it's like they were getting ready to come down, and all of a sudden, it was like they stopped kind of, like, halfway or something, and then it was kind of
like
weird.
Off-guard or something.
It looked like some kind of like militant, like put together Jeep or something.
When they went to the shot of them in the stadium, I said, "Why do they even get that out there if they're not going to show their entrance?" You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So we saw it's like they drove it like halfway or something. It was there, but then it's all of a sudden you looked away for a few seconds, and then it's like, what the fuck's going on?
By the way, the Hall of Fame will run you $8.
And it's well worth it. They should charge 80.
Well, I'm glad they're not, because that would be more than 80.
No, you would pay for this, Craig. Trust me.
Well, what I saw, it was pretty good. Anyway, everybody was expecting a Swagger win here. He did not get it. It's fine. The way they worked it out was almost perfect. So, no hard feelings.
Let me ask something. I want to know who the hell thinks Flo Rida was better than P. Diddy.
I thought
Flo Rida was horrible. I like P. Diddy. I thought he did a good job.
And he kept it short. That's part.
It what now?
That was bathroom.
I said he kept it kind of short. You know, he didn't overdo it like Flo Rida and the other dude did it last year.
I'm just mad he didn't do the song from Godzilla.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing I was waiting for. I mean, I was kind of disappointed on that one, but he had his other stuff. But, you know, Craig doesn't have taste in music, but he was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be a baller, shot caller, brawler. But no, I went to the bathroom instead.
I like when they started showing the footage, all the classic Mania moments when they were setting it up. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, that was.
Next up. Wait a second here. Oh, yeah. Undertaker he defeated CM Punk, who, by the way, Living Color absolutely killed it, bringing out CM Punk to the ring. They were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He did it was better.
Oh, please.
I didn't even know they were still a band. Did they have to reunite these guys just to get them to do this number?
Apparently not, because one of the guys who was in the group came from Australia, and he was going to Chicago to the Shimmer tapings this weekend. And apparently last night or the night before, he went and saw Living Color in concert in Chicago.
Hmm. Yeah, he's been putting pictures up on his Facebook page. The singer has gone from the long black dreadlocks to the ball cap and white hair underneath, gray hair underneath. They all look a little bit older, a little bit more wiser, a little bit more road.
He looked like Mark Ren's old avatar.
If you look,
which he needs to change back, by the way, because I don't like that. That changing it shit, not working for me.
Okay. Anyway, CM Punk and Taker just tore it up. They had a great match. CM Punk, the MVP of WrestleMania for sure.
No, The Undertaker is the MVP of WrestleMania for sure.
Dude.
And
one part that had me worried was when it looked like he was fixing to do the big dive, I said, oh shit. And then Paul Heyman jumped up on the apron. I said, okay, that was a pretty cool spot.
I never seen the Undertaker carry someone like that in a match. It was,
oh my gosh, you're out of your tree.
No, it was all Undertaker. And this match was phenomenal. It was by far the best match on the show. 7 years in a row, Undertaker's had the best match on the show.
Which just proves that you go on last every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go on last every year. The thing about this match is 80% of this match was almost like 80% of this match was all facial.
Yeah.
They told the story with their face because, I mean, when you look at what they actually did, I mean, Undertaker couldn't do the dive. He couldn't do a lot of things. They just, all the main spots had to do with either the Undertaker, like when he's in the Anaconda Vice and he just gets pissed off and looks like Punk, like he wants to kill him. And then
that was
all the time
when he sat up, when he was in the Anaconda Vice.
Yeah, The Undertaker just told an awesome story just with his face facials alone. I mean, it was fantastic. And in the other matches, you know, when the guys would come out, there'd be a pop, but it kind of get quiet because it was a giant building. It was open roof, you know, the sounds leaving the building. But during, I don't know how it came off. I don't know how any of it came off on the pay-per-view, but during that match, the entire time, the crowd was chanting the entire time. And for like maybe half the second half, maybe a little less the second half of the match, everybody in that building was standing on their feet. It was so fucking awesome. And, just a great fucking match. It was awesome.
Yeah, but it's like, just like every year when, you know, you always hear people say, Taker's going to win. And so I'm still buying the near falls with Punk a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens every year.
Like the spot with the urn shot, that was like, you know, that was a big, you know, where everyone kind of bought it or acted like they got it. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, and then what was really crazy was we've all been in the arena when Kane's pyro goes off and you're in like the little 18,000 arena and you can feel, wherever you're sitting, you can feel Kane's pyro. Well, at WrestleMania, we're not on the opposite end of the stage, but we're, like, on that end, like, closer to that side. So we're at least 100 yards away from that that bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge. And it was a cold-ass night. It's an open-air stadium. It's 100 yards away at least. And every time that those flames hit their crescendo at their highest, it got hot, and you could feel it all the way from where we were. It was just, like, crazy. I couldn't even imagine being, like, right next to that thing when those flames were going off because, I mean, it's just as cold as it was warm all of a sudden for a few seconds, and not even warm. It was actually kind of hot for a few seconds, and that just blew my mind how powerful those flames that were going off.
Oh, the Undertaker entrance, the hands coming up, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
That was
yeah.
fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that was great. That was the best part of WrestleMania by far.
And best match on the show by far.
I think this show would have come off way better if it was in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
First time?
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, but then they wouldn't have broken attendance records. They wouldn't have broken income records.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying this as far as the
yeah.
reactions and the heat and the building and stuff like that.
Yeah, you saw what happened the next night on Raw. Imagine if they were in the Garden and that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking
the only
of
thing
about
doing these stadium shows sometimes, it's only a thing negative to them.
The match that followed CM Punk and The Undertaker was a match I had very high hopes for. It was Triple H defeating Brock Lesnar in a no-holds-barred match. If Lesnar won, Triple H would have to retire. There's no way that Triple H is going to retire. And, of course, they had to do a no-holds-barred match. Brock Lesnar came out looking like he ate a Volkswagen. He was absolutely enormous. He was probably a legit 320, 330, just jacked to the gills. Not to be outdone by Triple H, came out pretty much the same. And these two went in there and they ran at each other and they clubbered each other and the crowd sat on their hands and then they threw each other into things and hit each other with chairs and the crowd sat on their hands and it wash, rinse, repeat. It was this was not a good
match. A lot more than I did. I enjoyed this match.
Oh, I really thought it was a decent match. I didn't think it was a horrible match, but the crowd brought it down. Like, if you were to star rate this crowd, the match would have been like a 3, and the crowd brought it down to a 1. You know what I mean? I mean, the crowd did not care about this at all.
You think Hunter would learn his lesson about match placement after the Houston WrestleMania?
True. Very true.
So no telling what was supposed to come like after the Taker match because they cut a bunch of stuff.
That's yeah. true.
They should have thrown the Hall of Fame people here, did something because you weren't going to follow that match. There's no way they could follow that match. And this match was good at times, and at times it just was like, when's it going to end? And I didn't like the end of it. I mean, Brock's the one they got big plans for next year's WrestleMania to be one of the main events. Why are you having them lose this main event? I mean, just so somebody can get their win back. I mean, it was just a waste. It was stupid.
I think in a year, WrestleMania, if he's going to be in the main event, I don't think losing the year before is going to matter one bit. So.
True.
Hopefully not.
Contreras, if you were to do one thing to improve this match, what would it be?
Cut the time.
Yep. Ed, if you were to have been watching this from home, what's the one thing you could have done to improve this match?
Have Brock win.
Okay, well, how about this? What if JR was on the mic?
That would have improved it. Yes, I believe so.
Absolutely.
That's a question, Craig. I mean, come on. Like, Jim Ross isn't going to improve the pay-per-view by 100 times sold. I mean,
Well, like I said a minute ago, if this would have been, like, in Madison Square Garden, I think maybe there would have been more reaction to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But,
and it didn't die in front of the whole crowd. I mean, Ryan actually said the whole crowd was different. You could look over here, and there's people going crazy, and people over here standing boring chants, and more people going crazy.
Let's say you're not in that section, and you're in a section where people are going nuts. Let's say you're not in that section where people are going nuts, and you're looking on TV, and it looks like nobody's doing nothing. Okay? The way it came out on TV, it looked like this match, these people fell asleep. I'm sure by the time the Blu-ray comes out, there's going to be some crowd sweetening and whatnot. But I'm telling you right now, if JR would have called that match.
You sound like you're speaking for Brian Alvarez again.
Shut up. If JR would have called this match, it would have brought it up at least a star rating because he would have got over everything. And instead,
yeah,
he got the three nose goals to get the desk.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, but that's, you know, basically, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to know that. I mean, JR is just the greatest. That's what he does.
Yeah, and they got him on the pregame and the postgame show, and he's there. I mean, shit.
Exactly.
I mean, it ain't going to be nothing for JBL to take a break and, you know, throw Jim Ross down there or something like that.
Yeah.
I really liked I was really into the spots where Triple H had the Kimura on Braun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to the point, though, where it was laughable. I mean, we were laughing by the third time he did it.
Because I said, I'm going to laugh my ass off at this guy's taps because I'm never going to hear the end of it. You're never going to hear the end of it.
Yeah, I was very disappointed with this match. Sorry, that's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The best sign I saw all night, if Cena wins, we complain online.
That is awesome.
That was the best sign ever.
Well, that brings us to the main event, and that young man was complaining online because John Cena beat The Rock to become the WWE champion.
And this match actually, there's a little story before this match because, okay, they finished Triple H and Brock. So, okay, they didn't have a buffer match between Undertaker and Triple H. So you're thinking, okay, well, they got to have a bumper match now. So there was this young, bright-eyed kid in the stands. He was rubbing his hands together. His eyes were wide. He was so happy he was going to get to see his favorite wrestler and his favorite wrestler's mustache. And John Cena's music hit, and Sinbad started crying, and it was the greatest thing I ever seen in my life.
I feel bad for Sinbad.
I laughed. I was like,
you know, he has an emotional connection with Cody Rhodes. So.
Yeah.
Well, he should have stuck around for the next night.
Sinbad was awesome on the trip, but Sinbad needs to go to his quarterback. He does not look good. It's just head shape. I'm sorry.
So, Ed, are you planning on the next year's Manias, or are you going to stay for Raw?
Yes. Yeah, I'm definitely. I'm going on Friday and coming back on Tuesday.
Yep. That's what I want to do.
But going to like Cena and Ross, the match actually started kind of slow. I mean, they were doing chin locks to start the match, and it started off real slow. But I thought it had a great build, and it kept building and building. And when Cena, I don't know if you want to call it teasing a heel turn or just being a little bit of a dick. That was awesome. And I enjoyed the match. I thought it was great. I mean, it wasn't as good as Undertaker, but I mean, I thought it was a great match. And it was so funny because, you know, you got at least 60,000 people who are booing the sight of John Cena. I mean, he did have his Let's Go Cena chance, you know, because there were kids, there were girls, but for the most part, 60, maybe 70% of the people just hated him, and they booed everything he did, every sign of John Cena, just boo, and then John Cena wins the world title from The Rock, and 80,000 people fucking lost their shit and went crazy. It was awesome. And then, like, 4 or 5 minutes later, then they started booing.
When they shook hands or whatever?
Yeah.
I thought the match was good.
The match was good. I felt like, in the end, they were kicking out way too many of their finishers too much. I felt that they went back to just using their finishers, like, there were a bunch of reversals and stuff like that. I felt if they, like, threw in something new, it would have been much better than just going right back to, like, the Rock Bottom or the AA or something. But still,
well, I'm trying to stop where Cena went dickhead.
Huh?
We're seeing it like, you know, he teased the people's elbow and then stopped.
Oh, that was awesome. That was the best spot of the match.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great spot. I mean, that just proves when John Cena goes heel, he's going to be an awesome heel because that was That was the best part of the match.
Only thing better was if when he hit the ropes from people's elbow and then Rock got up and just saw him standing there, stopped, he should have just given him a finger or something. he said that on Raw the next night. He said, maybe we'll come out here and do a little dance, maybe a little heel turn, you know, a little kick, something like that. So that was funny.
Yeah,
and Hell is down by the Rock for being hurt and still putting on that match.
Anyway, well, even scarier, Brock Lesnar was knocked out in like the first minute of his match, and he went like 25 minutes or so after being knocked loopy. That's scary.
Yeah, that's crazy. But it is the biggest show of the year. It's not like he can stop one minute into the match. You know? But I thought it was a good show, and it was real. Like, what was real cool is like me and Doc G, we got the first official ever S4W Empire bus that took us to a WrestleMania, and that was actually perfect because we were staying in the Hilton in New Jersey at a Hilton, but it was a kind of a ways away. And to get to the stadium or even the for a WrestleCon was you had to take the train, but you still had to take either a bus or a cab. So depending on whoever you talked to, the prices were different. Like Matt Clary and Brian took a cab from the hotel to WrestleCon, and it should have been like $20-something. They charged them like almost $50. So basically me and Doc G rented this bus, and we decided to – we weren't trying to make any money, so we just charged – if you're going both ways, we charged everybody $20. If you're going one way, we charged $15. And it actually, like, for a while, it looks like we weren't even going to break even, like we were going to lose a little money. But we were prepared for that. I mean, you know, we were actually kind of expecting it. And then so the bus gets there. We're supposed to leave at 3:30, but, of course, we were a little late because guess who was late getting there? I'll give you the first guess, Craig.
I'm not sure of his name, but his initials, are they B-A?
B-A?
Yeah.
Vincent. That name, isn't it Vincent Verhey? Wouldn't it be V-V?
I was thinking it was Brian Alvarez.
Oh, no. Brian went to Dragon's Gate. Brian went to Dragon's Gate. So we were waiting for Vinny because Vinny calls, and Vinny's like, I'm on my way. And so we had a wait for Vinny. So then we took off and went straight to Secaucus to WrestleCon, and Brian was actually early. He had a lot of people leave Dragon's Gate before the main event even finished. So we got there, we picked them up, and then I have to skip a part because that's part of the snub story. But we picked everybody up from WrestleCon. We loaded the bus. We went to the plan was to go to this place called Red's that I talked to where I booked the bus, and they said, yes, we'll have space for you to park your bus. We're big enough. We'll have plenty of yogi. You'll have plenty of time to eat, this, that. I'm like, cool. And then about a week before the trip, I kind of called back to, remind them, and then it's kind of like, seems like it's a different story. It's like, we can't guarantee you guys will eat. It's going to be busy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, shit. So we get on the bus, and we're trying to find this place, which is really close to the IZAD Center. And apparently, our bus driver was this tiny little old black guy, and they gave him bad directions, so he had passed where he had to turn. So we're kind of going down a bit, but he's starting to realize he's going the wrong way. And then there was a little slight incident on the bus, nothing too bad, but this one guy kind of got all loud about going the wrong way and just was kind of doing it in a kind of a dickish way. And then Brian's like, why are you yelling at me? I'm not in charge. And he goes, Ed's in charge. So I just yelled back, yeah, Ed's in charge, and Ed doesn't like being yelled at, so just calm the hell down. And then the bus driver turns around. We're making our way back. We're not that far. And this guy, who I'm not even sure who it was. I mean, I kind of think I know who it was, but I'm not too sure. Starts yelling about the bus driver's an idiot all loud. And I had to get up and tell him, we had bad directions. He's working on it. We're going to get there. We're not that far. Just calm the fuck down. You know, there's no need to get upset. And everyone got quiet for a minute or two, so I kind of felt kind of bad about that. And I didn't want to have to yell at anybody, but why do you want to tell the bus driver he's an idiot? I mean, it's kind of uncalled for.
Yeah, let's make things more difficult.
Yeah, let's piss off the guy who's driving us. It'll take us even further to get there. So we're actually getting a call. Let me take the call here before I finish my story. Caller calling from area code 219. Who's this?
It's Sinbad, Ed. It's Sinbad.
What's
going
on?
Tears. There were no tears.
This isn't Sinbad.
Sure? I believe you, Sinbad.
Petra, I know you do. You know Ed's background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was Vince McMahon has to have some sort of personal vendetta against me. That's what happened that night. And another thing about the guy on the bus, that guy could have taken Ed. Like when Ed was going to go talk to him, and that guy gave Ed a little bit of a stare. You should see the look of fear in Ed's eyes.
Whatever. Whatever. I didn't hear you say anything, Sinbad.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to. See, I had the little ball and chain with me. Don't tell her I said that, though.
Yeah.
She'll never listen to this, so I'm good.
That's true.
Okay.
Nobody does.
So was it your idea or her idea? Because we were like a few of us were hanging down in the lobby Sunday night, like me, Doc D, Dazza, and you know how everything was closed, so we had to get stuff from the snack bar right there. Whose idea was it for your wife to come down and charge a bag of chips to Ricky and Cobro's room?
Yeah, the Cobro room. I think she was in the wrong room. That's why I came down to fix it. I came down like a half hour later because Jorge came up there. And I was like, what do you mean you put it on that room? And she's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought I said our room. I was like, well, let me go make sure. And she definitely had done that. So that was the first
me and your game were laughing because we figured you guys were just like teasing them or messing with them.
Oh, no. Yeah, never. That's why went down to confirm. I mean, it's expensive enough as is, so I just made sure that it got fixed, and it was. So, like, all the stuff we got over the weekend of just, like, the bullshit, because this is my fat weekend, so I just decided to eat everything I could. I spent, like, $40 on that shitty snack food at the hotel. It was insane. It's not my finest moment.
I spent pretty close to that. I mean, my hotel bill was a lot more than it should have been. It was just because of the stupid snack bar.
Just because of the bullshit?
Yeah.
Katrair.
Yes.
My man, Katrair. Tell me you're coming to WrestleMania next year. Tell me you are.
I'm planning on it.
You have to. We have to hug. I hugged Ed like 5 times.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Disgusting.
Eventually, you were getting used to it, though, Ed.
Yeah, I know. By the end of the trip, I soaked in that gimmick and just started hugging everybody also.
I know. You started embracing it. I brought that to this trip. Everyone was hugging everyone over and over. It was so hot.
I got to meet Sinbad not last WrestleMania, but the WrestleMania before that, and went in, and of course we embraced, and he stood.
Sinbad, you
should
be
insulted
because he just forgot that he met you in Arizona too. That's just rude.
Oh, that's true. Anyway, we embraced, stepped back, and he looked at me, and goes, "God, you smell good," and I said, "Okay, thanks for making this uncomfortable situation just a little bit more uncomfortable." But, Sinbad's a great hugger.
Just to let you know, there will never be another day that I won't think about that smell. You smelled great. Honestly, Ed, on the other hand, though, no comment.
He smells a little different, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was just slightly different.
It's a vegetation kind of smell to it.
Yes, yeah. Talk about night and day.
This trip, it was more of a Puerto Rican smell that was left on me.
Oh, God. Well, at least it wasn't the smell of, like, a hooker's vagina. That's all we can ask for. All right, guys. I got to get out of here. It was nice talking to you guys.
All right.
Okay.
I'll see you next year, hopefully.
All right. Take it easy.
He's lying.
His phone call ended up being pretty gay.
Yes, it did end up being a little homosexual.
Well, he was crying over Cody Rhodes. What do you expect? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. anyway, to get back to my story, it's like, you know, the guy was being mean to the bus driver, and I just couldn't stand for it, and I just kind of yelled
What's
back.
What's his board name?
Huh?
What's his board name?
I'm not sure who it was, so I think I know who it was, but I'm not too sure. And from he was cool the rest of the trip. I mean, I don't know. He just got some road rage or something. And but we get to Red's, and there's no fucking place to park the bus, so we're kind of parked on the street. And then Seafood, Mexican Seafood, who I hadn't seen in a few years, is there. Steve Hoker is there, another guy I hadn't met in a while. And Derek Darby's there. So we kind of like decided that we probably weren't going to get to eat there. So a bunch of people went, like Brian and then a bunch of other people went across the street. There was like a Popeyes and a Subway. And I had to go inside of Red's because I didn't know there were people there. And it was crazy, dude. It was like just... Like, it was also seeing Mexican Seafood, who I hadn't seen for years, but we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, this little short dude walks in, and he walks toward me, and he's like, "Ed, what's going on?" And I'm trying to think, who the hell is this? And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on? What's happening?" And I shake the dude's hand, and he kind of steps to the side. When he steps to the side, I'm looking up, and there's this large black man with dreads walking toward me, and I'm like, "Oh, my fucking God, it's the cancer." And cancer just happened to be in New York. He didn't even know WrestleMania was going on. He was doing some stuff with Wycliffe Jim and Logan Traveler, who was the guy who came up to me first, who I didn't recognize because the two times I've seen him, he didn't have hair. And this time he had hair, and he looked totally different. So, yeah, Logan Time Traveler and the cancer made a surprise cameo. Got to talk to the cancer for a couple minutes, and he went down to go talk to Brian. And there's a really cool picture of Brian holding on to the cancer like he's a baby. And, yeah, that was just like a surprise. And
Logan the Time Traveler was there?
Yeah, Logan the Time Traveler was there. I've met him before a couple times. I mean, he's a cool dude. I just didn't recognize him. He's like totally different.
I'm so always fascinated, you know, when these people that you talk to or either you yell at and shit on the board and they just end up, like, appearing in human form. It's amazing sometimes. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It is weird, cause like, especially like with Logan, because Logan's cool as shit in person, but then when you listen to his show, it's like he kind of just makes me shake my head sometimes with his lack of wrestling knowledge.
That's why I take everything that anybody says on the board. When it comes to real life, I don't, like, apply any of it. Like, if you're one person on the board, and then you're one person in real life, that's how I care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah, and we'll get to more of that here in a little bit, but I'll finish with the bus. So we decided, look, this is what we'll do. We'll drive the bus to WrestleMania. I will pay the parking out of my own pocket because I screwed up with Red. The Red didn't turn out the way it should have been. So we get into the bus, and we drive up to WrestleMania, and we parked so fucking close to WrestleMania. It was awesome. It was a straight shot basically to the front door, then just to the side to get to our seats. And then it was real easy to find, or it should have been real easy to find, but Craig, guess who got lost?
No telling.
Vinny Verhey called me and said, "Ed, I am lost." And it took him a while to get to the bus, so somehow Vinny had the worst luck of the trip. And we kind of got held up.
I'm just
getting
the bus to pull up right to the front, and y'all just get out, and then he's parked the bus. Why do you have to be on the bus?
Well, because you have to be on the bus when you park. He can't just drop you off because you can't actually get that close to it. But we were in, like, the closest lot to it. So, but like I say, dude, we were like, 50 yards away at that. I mean, we were super close. And Anchor was only riding back. And he had asked for, like, where he could meet us to go walk through the bus. And I guess either his phone died or something, so... So he was supposed to meet Doc G, but he never did. So we stuck around. It was not like we could go anywhere. Traffic was pretty bad. But we were missing like 7 people. They were like, we were hoping we wouldn't have to go back to the restaurant, but since we were missing 7 people, we knew we did. And because, like I say, only certain people were only riding back. So we finally, after we give up on Anchor just showing up, we finally take off, and I'm real worried because, you know, we said we were leaving at 12:15, so I'm worried that if someone's there at 12:15 and we're not there, they think we abandoned them or whatever. Luckily, we got there with like 5 minutes, like at 12:20, so we're like 5 minutes late. There's 2 guys that were standing right there on the side of the street. We go inside, we see Anchor right away. We find like 3 other drunken Irish guys. And so we load them all on the bus, and we headed on home, and it was super convenient. I mean, it was the most convenient time getting to WrestleMania ever. I don't think we have to do it for New Orleans, but for every other city, there will be a WrestleMania bus as long as I have something to say about it. I mean,
you went to New York City, and you went to eat at Subway or Popeyes.
I didn't. I went inside that restaurant. That was Brian and all of them.
Oh.
But the bus was good. Yeah. But the big, so I guess I got to get to the big story of the week. And this happened, I guess, we haven't talked about the Hall of Fame, right?
No.
No, not yet.
Okay, well, let me lead up to the Hall of Fame. You know, we had to get from WrestleCon to Madison Square Garden, so me and Oliver, we decided to rent a stretch limo, and we get other people to ride with us, and everything was set up cool, but then people started backing out on us. So I told Oliver, I go, look, I told you to get it. I'll cover what's not covered, and but we still got a few people coming. Brian's supposed to come with us. So we're watching Chikara, and it was the limo ride was $35 each way, which was still pretty much a deal, depending on, you know, from how far we were to get to Madison Square Garden, you know. So I get a text from Brian saying, they said that the bus is $5 and it'll get there a lot faster than the limo. So I'm thinking, you cheap bastard.
Mm-hmm. You're
trying to get out of $70, you cheap bastard. And I'm like, I texted back, how in the hell is a bus going to get there faster than a limo? And then he texts back, oh, it's got a bus lane, so-and-so. So I'm like, all right, whatever. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, that dumb bitch, he's throwing me out of $70. So we leave during intermission, during Chikara, and we meet Oliver. And we see Brian and Matt Cleary, they leave the show. And I tell Brian that he might have to wait for the bus because this other friend of mine told me they waited an hour to leave before. So
mm-hmm.
Brian sees the bus coming, so Brian just starts hauling ass. He sprinted like about 100 yards, maybe more, as fast as he could. Matt Cleary and his friends were just walking. They were just like, fuck that.
Yep.
So Brian's able to get on the bus. He catches that bus after he sprinted and he takes off, and we slowly get in the limo and we just cruise, and me and Oliver and Dazza and I can't think of the other guy's name at the moment, but he was a really nice dude. We drive all the way from Secaucus to Drew Times Square in a stretch limo, which was awesome. I mean, that's a cool thing.
Sunroof?
We didn't have the sunroof, but we were just, you know, just kicked back in plenty of space and passed by all kinds of cool, famous stuff. And we get there with like an hour to go, and we go get cheesecake, and we text Brian, and he's still like 45 minutes away. And he had to be there on time, and he was almost late and almost missed the whole thing. And I'll be honest with you, we were giggling that we hoped he was going to be late so he'd miss it just for being a greedy little bastard. But unfortunately, he didn't make the show. And I guess we could talk about the Hall of Fame now. So,
well, Craig, you talk about it. We just saw the one-hour version. You break it down for us.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we had to meet the limo back at 12 o'clock, so we figured they can't go longer than 11. We should even have plenty of time. Everything should be good. Even if Bruno goes long, we'll be good. So it starts, and Terry Funk comes out, and Terry Funk's awesome. And The Undertaker was actually in the audience. I don't know if they showed him on TV, but he was actually on the audience.
What?
Yeah, he was maybe like second or third row. He was toward one of the ends. He was wearing his Undertaker hat. The old one kind of, and he was just there. He was kind of quiet. He didn't, you know, draw attention, but he was there. And Terry Funk comes in and he tells the story about you know, the Hell in the Cell, and that during the match, you know, he goes in there and he thinks that Foley's dead, so he goes he runs to the ring to confirm that he's dead. And then, like, he turns to The Undertaker and he says, he's dead. And then he says, The Undertaker grabs him. He's like, he's standing up. And then he chokeslams him out of his tennis shoes. And you know, Terry Funk was awesome. He was awesome. He didn't go super long, but it wasn't like he was there real quick. and he was great, but you could tell the Undertaker probably wasn't happy. You know, he's always about being in character, so I'm sure he didn't like that part of the story.
It's funny because I was watching the thing on USA, and it's like, Terry Funk finally just looks way too old. I don't know. It's one of those things that just all of a sudden, I mean, I don't know how old is he. He was like, is he in the 70s or 60s or something like that? And I mean, he's looked old for Christ knows how long, but this night just looked way too old, just kind of hit me. It's weird.
High definition finally caught up to him.
Right.
That's probably what it is. And it only went an hour. Like, pretty much went an hour. And I don't know how much they showed on the thing, but he went a long, long time.
He said, they're not going to put me on the TV show. I'm going to go as long as I want.
Yeah,
that's basically what happened, because he went a long time. And they did that thing with Jericho and Punk, and I'm sure they showed that part.
Yeah,
but,
they did.
Yeah, he went. Did they show Santa Claus coming on at the end?
No.
Well, he talks about the story of why he said that he had invited Santa Claus or something, but he didn't think Santa Claus was going to make it. And then at the very end, when he's leaving, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus come and they give him a flat. What do you call it? Kind of. What does he wear? His
flannel shirt.
Flannel. They give him a flannel Santa's coat and a flannel Santa's cap. And it's kind of like it looks like it's like snowing on the stage.
He's got this Santa Claus plate fascination. I don't quite understand it. Hang on,
well,
it was 1 month a year.
Well, it was part of his being snubbed for being kicked out, like being like cut from the TV. It was kind of his way of getting back.
No, but he's some kind of hardcore Santa Claus fan. He goes to one of those places where it's like Christmas every day of the year, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird. Man.
But yeah, he went an hour. So after he was finished, I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, or I thought my phone's pretty much dead at this point. So I asked Doc Chu what time it is, and he tells me, and I'm like, he just went an hour. I think our chances of seeing all of Bruno are slowly shrinking away. So he comes out, and then Stephanie comes out, and she could have cut her thing, and I don't even know why they had Stephanie. It was just, I didn't think she was that great, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Stephanie. And then Trish comes out, and the first 5 minutes she's thanking Stephanie, so they definitely could have cut that part out. I mean, that was just like, geez, you know. But then Trish was really good, and she went long too. I mean, she went a long time. If they don't bring back the clocks for the ones being inducted, they at least got to bring back the clocks for the inductors, because some of these people went way too long. So Trish goes on, and she introduces her mom and stuff, and she introduces her husband, and everybody starts booing. And so it's kind of like she pauses, and she starts to do it again, and they boo him again. And then they do it like a third time, and she basically has a plea for the people to let her thank her husband. And then when she left, the King's like, yeah, everybody loves Trish, but they hate you, Rob. And it was good. I mean,
well, weren't they chanting for him when they found out she's pregnant?
I didn't hear that part. That might have just been where Brian was, because I didn't hear that part when that happened. But
I just saw that the camera shifted over to, like, Brodus Clay on the TV show and said, way to go, Ron. Now she's pregnant.
Yeah. So she like, she announced she's bringing a little satisfaction to the world in September. I mean, she was good, but she did go too long. So once again, when she's done, I'm looking at the clock like, oh, geez, this is not good. And then they brought out Stevie Ray, and Stevie Ray was good, but once again, he went too long, and he also kind of made it about himself a little bit. I don't know what they showed on TV, but...
They didn't
show
a lot of it. I mean, maybe a couple minutes of his speech.
Yeah, he kind of, everything that basically Booker owes Stevie Ray, basically, kind of, in some ways. Not, I mean, it wasn't that blatant, but, you know, he did kind of make it a little bit about himself. He was good, but he went long. Booker was awesome. He told a bunch of funny stories. But once again, he went long. He went a long, long time. And he did the spin-a-rooney at the end, but he was good. I mean, I have no complaints about him. But I look at the clock again, and now we're really starting to shit. because it's been a long time. It's like everybody's almost averaging an hour, it seemed like, or at least it seemed like Foley went an hour, and everyone else has gone over half an hour. And so we're like, oh, geez, you know, Backlund's going to go on forever. And then, so then, what did they show about Backlund, may I ask at first?
They didn't show too much. I think they didn't show too much. Apparently, not too much of the craziness that we heard about. It was just, you know, I'm thankful to be here, and I'm going in with the people I'm going in with, and it really not much.
Did they show any of Maria Menounos?
Yeah, just like a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, this is actually kind of sad, dude. I mean, I didn't like it at all. Maria comes out. And you can tell she's a big fan of Bob Backlund, and she's trying to do her best. She's doing a good job. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it at all. But she starts to go long herself, and she goes too long, and you can slowly hear the grumblings. As the longer it goes, there's more grumblings. And then she does it, like I guess what they call it, the Chuck Norris act, where she's like, Bob Backlund has done, was champion so-and-so-so. Bob Backlund has never done drugs. Bob Backlund does this for his workout. Bob Backlund, you know, just going on, and this crowd just fucking turns on her ugly and starts booing her and yelling at her, and it was just like me and Doc G were just there shaking our heads. It was just like she went long, but she didn't deserve it, you know what I mean? I mean, she didn't deserve that. I mean, I guess you guys didn't see it, so you don't really know what I'm talking about, but it was ugly. It was affecting her, and she refused to shorten her speech. She finished her speech. You could tell it was affecting her. And then when Bob came out, you could tell he wasn't happy about it. And right off the bat, he started screaming. And he would just start screaming he'd yell at John Cena, never give up, John Cena. And then he would turn into some other tirade and wander off on another subject. And then he'd be normal for a second. And he'd start yelling again. And he'd wander off to the right and start yelling over there. And then he'd yell at something at, like, Triple H, and then he'd be calm, and then he'd yell again, and it was like Gary Busey was giving an acceptance speech. That's the only closest thing I can describe it.
Well, he was in the Mr. Backlund character from, like, the mid-90s.
He was in the Mr. Backlund character times 10. I mean, he was out of his goddamn mind, and then he starts. He tried to say the UFC, but he said it wrong. He said it differently or something. And then he's still rambling, and Vince like tippy toes up behind him, motions to his watch like, "Come on, let's get this shit on the road."
He should have put Vince in a double chicken wing.
Yeah, so I wish he would have. It would have been awesome. So he keeps on screaming. He starts to wrap up, but he's still screaming and being a madman. So Triple H just dives up on the stage and runs up there and grabs his arm and picks up his arm, and he's all like laughing and smiling with him, but you know he's there to drag him off the stage.
Did you see the photo that surfaced of him? He was behind MetLife Stadium, and he had a box of posters with him, and he was autographing them and selling them to the Marks for $20 a piece.
No, I didn't see that.
I thought he came across Virgil's the gimmick table.
We'll get to Virgil.
Okay.
But that was crazy. And then Vince came out, and Vince is really good doing Trump. And luckily, he didn't go on for too long. And then Trump came out, and you could tell he was loving every second of every boo that he was getting, and he was getting booed. And
yes, Wakanda's bending, saying this is the greatest honor of all times.
Yeah, and then like he introduced his son, and they booed his son, and then he introduced Ivanka, and so since Ivanka's hot, everyone started cheering Ivanka. So he's like, I found a way to go good guy. And he was good. He kept it short, luckily. So we're still like
he probably had somewhere to be.
Yeah. So we're on the edge, and then Arnold comes out, and Arnold was awesome. Arnold was awesome, and he kept it short. You know, he just did a bunch of funny lines, a couple of little stories, and then introduced Bruno. And Bruno basically told the stories he told on Wrestling Observer Radio a bunch of times, but it still almost brought tears to my eye. And he only went like 20-something minutes. And it's funny because if anyone should have gone the longest, it should have been Bruno, but it's like everybody else went long and Bruno just kind of kept it short.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was kind of ironic. But, you know, he was awesome. I mean, it was awesome seeing him get in there. I mean, the place was going crazy. He looked great. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. It was, I'm glad I was there. I mean, that's one thing I'm glad I did. Got to go to Madison Square Garden, the place where the Spurs won their first world title a long time ago. And everything about it was just awesome. And, yeah, that was one of my favorite things
from the trip. I liked
at
the end when Vince came out and they hugged. I thought that was pretty cool.
I actually kind of missed that because we had already started to make our way out to find the limo. Which
yeah, it was on the TV show, so that was pretty neat.
Yeah. So anyway, here comes the start of what's been referred to as Snubgate. And it's the funniest fucking thing. We and Dachi are slowly making our way to the limo, which we got to go to Pennsylvania Hotel. So we're walking, and I hear Dr. We're not standing next to each other because it's a crowded street, and I hear Dr. G say, "Hey, there's Todd Marvin," and then I hear Dr. G say, "Hey, Todd, how you doing?" And he walks to Todd with his hand out, and Dr. G and Todd Marvin have met many times in Las Vegas at the Vegas convention, but apparently, I guess recently or something, Doc G must have trolled Todd Martin on the board. I think it was that thread about the kid with the CP who's the wrestler that pinned him, and Todd Martin was appalled that how is this poor little kid going to learn a lesson? The wrestler should have beat him so he could learn a tough lesson and they'd be ready for life being tough. And, like, the kid doesn't know life's tough. I mean, he has CP for God's sake. But, yeah, and then he's also, like, really good friends with Mike Coughlin, and Mike Coughlin talks a lot of shit about Todd Martin, so... Todd Martin, after Doc G, with a big smile on his face, who he's talked to many times, says, "How you doing?" And comes at him with his hand. Todd Martin just looks at him. He pauses. He looks at him. He kind of points at him. "I remember you. I'm not shaking your hand." And just storms off before I can even say hello to Todd. And Doc G was just standing there. It was like he couldn't believe what happened. And I was just like, "Dude, did you just get snubbed by Todd Martin?" And Doc G's like, "I think I just did." So he just started laughing our asses off, and then we pretty much told everybody because it was just such a funny story. But it's just like you were saying earlier, Couture, about, like, you know, you mess with somebody and then you're going to take it, like, to the point where you're not going to shake a guy's hand, especially somebody you've already met and known. It's not like it was like a complete stranger.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's just like, it was just the most absurd thing. It's like Todd Martin came off looking like so bad. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, think about all this shit I talk about Brian.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, I cut a promo off Brian the week before, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, we talk shit to each other, you know.
I mean,
it's,
I might,
like,
tell somebody on the board, like, if they say something stupid or just being an idiot, they might just tell them to fuck off, but, you know, I'll probably shake their hand if I met them. I went over against them. Like I said, I take the board in real life as two completely different things to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's your opinion on snubbing, Craig? Would you have shook Doc's hand if he trolled you a little bit on the board, but you hadn't met him a couple of times? But you have met Doc G.
Oh, yeah, I've met Doc G. It's no big deal. I mean, the computer's so completely different than real life. I mean, people can be idiots behind their computers, and, you know, it is what it is.
If I'm getting trolled, that must mean they like me. So, that's how I look at it. Because why would you waste your time if you don't like somebody trolling
them? I mean, Look at all the mean things Craig said to me on the show, and I still hang out with him at WrestleMania.
Hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought that.
It's called busting
balls.
People do it all the time. It ain't a big deal.
Yeah. It happens at my job all the time. It's no big deal.
Yeah. So Todd thinks like thought he was showing a hissy fit, but it was actually he was actually laughing about it. I mean, it's like it was just the most funny absurd story. It's like we couldn't believe it. It's like they just couldn't believe it. But to further on the story. When we went to pick up Brian and everybody at WrestleCon, I let Doc G be in charge of the money and the headcount because that's just a smart thing to do, you know. So I'm sitting on the front row of the bus, and Doc G is the right side of the bus where the door is. So he's there, he's counting money, he's letting people in, he's letting Brian in, he's letting Alan Forrell and Pingu Girl in, and from the other side of the bus, I start to see walk right in front of the bus is Todd Martin. Todd Martin and a friend of his. And he's kind of just, you know, just there. And he walks off calmly, coolly, and he walks across the bus. And I'm, like, watching him the whole way because I'm just waiting for that moment when he sees Doc G collecting money to get on the bus. So Todd Martin walks across the bus. He stops. He pauses. He looks at Doc G. He just slowly looks at his friend, he says something, and they turn around and then storm off the other way. And the thing is, Doc G would let him on the bus. You know, we were trying to break even. But he refused. I mean, he's so offended by Doc G, who, like I say, if you never met Doc G, is one of the nicest guys. He was more than happy and willing to throw in $175. His share of half the bus before we collected a dime from anybody else, knowing that there was a good chance we could lose money on it, but just wanted to make it easier on everybody. You know, he's a really good dude. I told Rodney the story, and Rodney was so fucking appalled at Todd Martin. It was just the funniest thing, dude. You could not believe how appalled Rodney was. And it takes a lot to appall Rodney like that, dude.
That's true.
And then they were sitting four seats away from each other at WrestleMania. And I'm sure everybody kind of glanced over to see if there would ever be any conflict or anything, but they just left each other alone. And there's an awesome picture that someone took of Todd Martin sitting looking toward WrestleMania in the middle, and on one side there's a Lithium Project that's pointing at Todd, like he's pointing, and luckily his finger's pointing right at Todd's head, and Doc G is winking at the camera. It's the greatest picture ever, and that is Snubgate, and we actually had controversy at the convention, and basically for no reason, and just so stupid. It was just so stupid, but it happened.
At first, I thought you were the one that got snubbed on the thread you made.
I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to say anything. He just stormed off, dude. I was like, I was going to wait for him to shake Todd's hand, and I was going to say, hey, what's up, Todd? And, He just stormed off, and then I think I was more offended for Doc than Doc actually was. Honestly,
it is an embarrassing thing. That's I don't know.
That's how Doc's face was, just like his mouth was open, and he was like, "Wow, it was just great." And then Brian wanted to hear all about the story, so we told Brian, and I started that thread, and then I felt bad because at WrestleMania he walked by in front of me and he looked at me and smiled, "Hey Ed, how you doing?" He goes to a seat, and then I felt bad, but. Anyway, that was Snubgate. And
did you hear the other thing that went down with Marty Jannetty this weekend?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
I know that he looked like he was lost there for a while during the Shimmer show, like he had no idea where to go, and he looked a little lost in his match. But what happened with Marty Jannetty?
Well, apparently, and I don't have all of the details correct, and please forgive me.
They had a bunch of vendors' tables set up.
Yeah, they had, you know, they had the ring on one side of the arena there, and then they had the vendors on the other side where the guys were signing and they were selling their stuff.
Yeah, there was like a line down the middle. It was like curtains down the middle.
Okay. So anyway, that part is closed, and they're doing, I think it was the Dragon Gate show, the next day. Anyway, long story short, one of Rob Feinstein's guys saw Jannetty running through all the merchandise tables and just picking things up and stuffing them in bags. He was blatantly stealing from all
Supermarket Sweep or something.
Yeah, like he took just tons of stuff and then And basically, they caught him, and they told him to give all this stuff back, or they were going to call the cops.
Wow. There was
okay, this was on Saturday. It was on Saturday. It was around 11 o'clock. I just found the thread from Feinstein's page. Anyway, it goes on to say, as my staff and four people that day entered the merchandise side of the show, we were going to our space. At the time, we saw Jannetty acting very strange. He kept walking in circles and acting like he was on the phone, but he had no business being where he was at all. He was not a vendor. He did not have anything to do with that time of the night. We watched him some more and knew that there was something wrong. He kept watching us from around the corner and was watching to see if we were watching him. I knew something did not add up. At that point, I decided to not leave our merchandise in that room. I did not feel it was safe. I quickly called the main promoter of the event and told him what I thought was going on. We ended up loading all of our stuff into a van, and I saw with my own eyes Marty Jannetty going two tables and taking people's merchandise and stuffing them into plastic bags. At that time, the promoter of the event came into the area and asked him what he was doing. He claimed he knew these guys and they were all friends. His bags were then searched, and it had merchandise from various tables and from various people. He was told he had to put everything back or they were going to call the police. He was escorted from the building out of the arena, and security was called, and it was taking him for another enter. I found it to be a really sad situation that he had to do this kind of stuff and also ask fans for money to help fix his quote-unquote ankle. When you have to steal from hardworking vendors merchandise to later sell at your indie shows, it's just a really sad situation.
Well, those vendors weren't also innocent, but during the Shimmer show, it was like one of the curtains kind of had opened, and what happened was is that Marty was just lost, and he was walking with his hand, waving his finger in the air, trying to find his vendor or promoter or whatever, and then they finally found him. And then during his Chikara match, he looked okay, but, he didn't, fuck anything up, but he didn't look like he was all there. And, yeah, he didn't, like I said, he didn't look like he was all there. But I guess I can talk about WrestleCon, since you brought it up. And it wasn't, the super big place. It was kind of it was one square, but they had maybe sectioned off into, two or three parts. And, they had all the old guys there. The Iron Sheik was there. Superstar Billy Graham was there. I got a picture with him. Jim Duggan was there. The Blue Meanie was there. I don't think I ever saw anyone get a picture with the Blue Meanie, but he was there. Aces and Eights. Virgil was there with the $1 million belt. And I never saw anyone get a picture with him in person, but I do know that JB of JB and Thrasher Crane did take a picture with Virgil holding the $1 million belt. So at least he made $5 or whatever he was charging at the time. And it was actually cool because there was never really a line for anybody, at least not when I was there. The most famous one when I was there was Kelly. I went and got a picture with Kelly. And she was being sponsored by RF. So I got a picture with her, and she looked fantastic in this little blue dress and dark hair, and just perfect. And I was just shivering to death when I had her in my arm taking the picture. And if you look at the picture, you could probably line up 5 Kelly Kellys, and I'd still be whiter than them. but she was nice. And then I took a picture with Beth Phoenix, who was also with RF. And I totally ignored Tommy Dreamer and Carlito. I only cared about the women. And pretty much the same thing with everybody else. they get to take the occasional picture here or there. But I went and got a picture with Shelly Martinez, and she remembered me from San Antonio, and this time I did get the correct contact information, so I will be contacting her very soon, Craig, so hopefully she will do the show. And
nice.
I saw they had it was either Shimmer or Shine Table, and they had Daphne and Roxy. So I went over to Daphne, and I guess everybody would remember my Daphne story from WrestleMania in Houston. So I go with the take a picture, and I'm giving her the money. I'm like, hey, I met you in Houston, WrestleMania week in Houston. And she's like, oh, really? That's cool. And then I whispered to her that I whispered her the story of what we did. And she's like, oh, yeah, in the back of that bar by the dumpster. And she, like, remembered the whole thing. And
what did y'all do behind the dumpster?
Well, she asked me not to. She asked me to kayfabe that story. She asked me to kayfabe the story, but she didn't take a picture with me. And in the picture, she's basically got her fingers to her mouth like she's hitting a joint. So
you do the math.
Together. You do the math.
Oh, so you wouldn't give you a blowjob or nothing?
That would have been like the greatest thing ever. But yeah, so she remembered me from Houston. So I thought that was cool. And then I went to take a picture with Roxy, the man that I let her wear my sunglasses that Pingu girl gave me last year. So I took a picture with Roxy wearing my sunglasses, and that was pretty cool. And I took a picture with Mickey James, who looked good, but the road has owned her a little bit, I guess.
Magnus with her.
With who?
Magnus. They're dating.
Oh, I don't think so. I've only seen Magnus the one time on the pay-per-view, so I probably, if he was there, I probably forgot.
Okay.
But I mainly got, like, pictures of them, and I talked to that Patrick Leopold guy, the guy that wrote the Montreal book. I got to say hello to him. I got to shake hands and say hello to Jeremy Borash, who the road has owned Jeremy Borash.
Okay.
Got to see Thrasher, and Thrasher was excited because Hulk Hogan was in the room, like, not been that far away from him.
Did he go to the Q&A?
He went to the Q&A, actually. He did go to the Q&A. He didn't pay for the thing at WrestleCon, but he did go to the Q&A. I do know that because JB was pissed off that he had to sell his ROH tickets. And Thrasher vetoed him, and they went to the Q&A instead.
You know that guy that's, like, supposed to be the agent for the Iron Sheik?
I don't think I saw him.
I'm going to read this. There was an incident at the April the 5th Pro Wrestling Superstar Show in New Jersey where Sabu hit the ring just as the John Morrison versus Jushin Liger main event started. Actually, that's a match I'd like to see. But anyway, apparently, Sabu did this on his own, and the promotion, Morrison and Liger, had no idea what was going on. And one of the employees overheard Eric Sims, the agent who booked Sabu for the autograph signing, telling Sabu that his run-in was added to the show. So Sims and not Sabu got the heat for it. When the promotion figured out Sims was responsible, Pat Buck hit Sims, and Kevin Matthews physically threw him out of the backstage area. That's tremendous.
That's
funny. By the way, there's a Facebook page up, and it's called 1,000 Likes to Get Rob Feinstein to Apologize to Marty. This page was set up yesterday sometime, and, they're at 41 likes.
Wait, he's just going to decide to make that story up for no reason?
No. I don't know. But if you're friends with Marty on Facebook or on Twitter, something ain't right with the guy.
Yeah, he looked lost. All I can say, he looked lost when he was on Chikara. And I'm trying to think of anything else happened at WrestleCon. I know that Brian was all, I want to go say hi to DDP, but DDP was having a free workout at WrestleCon. So it was kind of near that time, and Brian was like, but I don't want to work out, so I'll wait till next time. And, Jake looked good. He still had a bit of a beer belly, but Jake looked good. And
one of those kayfabe commentaries, breaking kayfabe shoots, and apparently he didn't like the subject matter, so he quit halfway through and returned their money.
Huh. Wow. That's incredible that he returned the money. You know, you wouldn't expect that from Jake. But,
John Waltman there with his orthopedic pillow to sit on?
No, I didn't see him. I only went Saturday, so he could have been there. There were people there Friday and then people who were there Sunday, so I didn't get to see, like, everybody. But it was I strongly suggest WrestleCon for people who go to WrestleMania, because, like I said, the lines weren't that long at all, and they had a wide variety of people that all had the merchandise, including bootlegs that got raided and taken away. But we'll make our friend Dave praise that cafe, and I'll talk about Shimmer, which was an awesome little show, by the way. And Shimmer started with Amazing Kong taking on Mia Yim, who I took a picture of her, and she's one of my favorites, and I think she has potential to be a big star. I mean, she can work and she's pretty. And they had a good little match that Amazing Kong ended up winning, of course, and she basically killed Mia Yim, but Mia Yim did look good during the match. And I love how they introduced Amazing Kong. They introduced, like, they say where she's from, and then they go, "Wait, none of your damn business." And that was awesome. And then they had Serena Deeb came out to kind of promo, talking about how she's returning from her. She thought she had to retire because of her injuries, but she was back. And then she got attacked by, I think, Jessica Havoc, who has, like, this giant ass. I mean, she's all ass. And Sassy Steffi, who's this redhead with big tits and a muffin top. And Nevaeh, who was pretty hot. And then they had some manager chick, who was kind of cute. And they ended up setting up a match with them and those. I forget the name of the team, but it's Carino's sister. What's Carino's sister? Oh, Allison Danger.
Allison Danger?
Yes. It was Serena Diz, Allison Danger, and Leva Bates, I believe is her name. I took a picture with her. And it was funny because they came out as Silent Bob, Jay and Silent Bob. And Allison Danger was Jay, and she was dressed up like Jay. And then Leva Bates was Silent Bob, and she came out with a mustache and beard and an overcoat and baseball hat. And they were actually awesome. And it was actually a decent match. They also had Daphne in their corner. And Daphne was cool, and they ended up getting the win, but then the Bad Girls beat the shit out of all of them, and I guess it set the stuff for this weekend. And that was pretty cool. They had this giant five-way, just a big collection of girls. It was Christina Von Airy, who did not have the mohawk going, and she actually looked pretty without the mohawk. And as pretty as Christina Von Airy can look with all the tattoos and everything. And some Irish girl named Rhea O'Reilly, some other girl from, I guess, New Zealand or somewhere, Evie, Calamity, who's kind of short and stubby, and then Yamagata from Japan, and it was an okay match, and Christina Von Airy won that one. And then they had Mercedes Martinez, who reminds me of the girl who fought Ronda for some reason, Luke Carmouche, because they're both kind of butch. And she took on this Karahara, who was having one of her, like, retirement matches. And they actually had a good, awesome match, and Martinez won that one. But everyone still gave Karahara a standing ovation after the match. And then they had Madison Eagles, who's from Australia, and she wrestled Jessie McKay, whose nickname is Everybody's Favorite Girlfriend. And they had an awesome match. They had an awesome little match. Jessie McKay is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. She just has this beautiful face, like Elizabeth beautiful. And, you know, she was awesome. And they did this awesome spot where Jessie McKay had, like, it was behind her. She had, like, a waist lock standing behind her. And Madison Eagles went to do, like, a cartwheel to escape, but McKay did the cartwheel with her, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it just looked so awesome. And that was an awesome match. And they had a tag match with I was actually kind of disappointed, because I was looking forward to seeing Kana wrestle, but she didn't really get to do a whole lot. So they had, basically, it was Lucisto, who I think was making a return, and Kana against the little Japanese girl who used to be Daisy Hayes' partner, and Kelly Skater. And they took on also this other team, Maiden Sin, they have the best asses in all of pro wrestling. If you look at my Facebook, you'll see some nice close-ups of Maiden Sin's asses. And and then the champions, the Canadian Ninjas. And it was a cool little match. The best spot, it was like, there was only like two people allowed at a time. and they all had to make the tag to get in, and somehow the Canadian Ninjas ended up in the ring together, and they proceeded to wrestle each other, going a negative 100 miles per hour. Basically, they were just, like, walking through everything. It was, like, the funniest fucking thing, and they ended up winning in the end, and then there was, basically, it was almost a, I'll give it a four-and-a-half-star match between Hamada and this one girl named Athena. They just had an awesome match. Hamada was just, Hamada's just like, she works so good, it's like you think she was a man almost. I mean, she's just awesome. And Athena ended up getting the win, but that match was, it was fantastic. I just couldn't believe how good it was. And then the main event was a cage match. So they take this intermission and they proceed to put up this like 40-foot cage. It, I shit you not. This, I don't know why this cage was so tall, but it took them forever to put it together, and it kind of killed the crowd a little bit. And for a while, me and Dad thought the cage was actually going to fall on top of us. it was just ludicrous how big this cage was. It was like, what the fuck? It was like bigger than WWE cages. And so anyway, the main event was Saraya Knight, who her daughter is Paige in NXT, who I haven't seen, but I know she's real pretty, against cheerleader Alyssa Flash from TNA. And they had a good little match in the cage, and cheerleader Melissa won, but the star of the match was Saraya Knight. I'd never seen her before, but basically this woman has top five, some of the top, but has to be in the top five workers for best psychology that I've ever seen in my life. This woman is phenomenal. She's like she comes off as like an angry, bitter, old, mean, just bitch. I mean, she is legitimately scary. After the match, after she lost, she slapped some photographers. She screamed and yelled at people. She walked by. We were second row, so I'm standing there like really close to the thing, and she walks by and she looks at me, and I swear to God, I got so scared. I was getting ready to take a shit in my pants just from one glance at this woman. I mean, it just blew me away that it happened. And that was the highlight. It was just Saraya Knight being the greatest fucking heel ever. It was a great show. I did have to post on Dave Prazak's Facebook to tell the cameraman to get the fuck out of our way, because fucking 7-foot-tall cameraman was kind of getting in our way. And I'm sure Dave sent him there on purpose just to get in my way, that bastard.
Never mind. Keep going. Oh. You're doing fine.
Well, I was gonna talk about Chikara next year. Chikara, we only got to see half the show, and it started off with like a female, like luchador. It's kind of got a wacky name, Satora or something. I got her on my Twitter. And she had a match with some guy, and she ended up winning. That was pretty cool. They had a guy like singing like folk songs before the show, by the way. And everybody was kind of into him. And then they had a tag team match. And let's see here. It was some tag team. They had makeup on their face. They kind of looked like demons. I don't know who they were, but they looked like almost like twins. Then they had a mask team, like one guy I didn't know. The other one was Ultra Mantis Black, who I think the Briscoes refer to as that darn Doombug. And two other guys who were like a big black guy and a big white guy, and they were kind of tried to be like the Legion of Doom, Powers of Pain. Like the black guy kind of looked like the Warlord, just black, and then the other one was kind of fat. He looked like the Rochester Roadblock, but with Road Warrior paint on. And then they took on Dasher Hetfield, who was like a baseball gimmick, a guy with a baseball outfit and mask, and Mr. Touchdown, who does a football gimmick. And Mr. Touchdown and Dasher Hetfield and Ultraman Black are fucking awesome workers, and everyone else sucks and sucks bad. But nobody like shit on them whenever they would screw up. And it was a fun match, and the best part of the match was, Mr. Touchdown was getting beat up, so he had like a big ass football trophy, like, you know, they give to like the little leaguers when they're playing football, and he grabs the trophy and he picks it up and raises it over his head like he's going to smash the bad guy. And before he can hit him, Dasher Hetfield slams the turnbuckle and grabs the trophy. And he yells, "No, we don't cheat. We're good guys." And they got a standing ovation for that. It was like the best part of the match. And then, of course, they ended up losing. And the guys in the face paint won. But it was just a cool little wacky match. The next match was a four-man match. And this is a match with Marty Jannetty. And it was basically, it was a weird team because, okay, it was Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor, Incubus, who were all acting like heels, and Sugar Dunkington, who is like would be like the basketball version of Hetfield and Mr. Touchdown, but he was with the bad guys for some reason. But the bad guys didn't like him, and he wanted to be part of the bad guys, but Gargano and Taylor didn't want nothing to do with him. And they were taking on the guy from Chikara that looks like Loki. I can't think of his name, but he looks just like fucking Loki. And a tag team called 3D, I think. And Marty Jannetty, a tag team 3D, those guys were hilarious because they were marking out Marty Jannetty the whole match. Like, this is so cool! And just it was just hilarious how they were just kissing up to Marty. And during the match, it was a good little match. And every time Sugar Dunkington was in, he would start dancing with the guys. And at one point, it was just him and Marty Jannetty. So he starts dancing all badass. And I guess Marty attempted to do whatever he would call dancing. He was moving around. I wouldn't call it dancing. So then Sugar Dunkington grabs him, puts his upper around his shoulder, puts his leg in front of him, and starts going, "Millions of dollars, millions of dollars." And Marty Jannetty's trying to do the millions of dollars. It was just fucking absurd, dude. And then they would do, like, all kinds of wacky stuff. Like, one guy put, like, a figure four headlock. Like a head scissors, but looked like a figure four. So he did that to one guy. So then the next guy went up to him, put him in the figure four headlock. And then the next guy put him in the figure four headlock. And the next guy. So you had seven guys. And one of them's doing it outside the ring. They're all in the figure four headlock. So then the one guy who's left goes and grabs the first guy, gets him in Boston Crab position, and turns them all around. And he had like an 8-man Boston Crab on.
Awesome.
It was just the craziest fucking shit, but everyone loved it. It was badass. It was just, it was funny as shit. The bad guys, I think, the bad guys won. And even though they didn't like Sugar Dunkington, the Incubus told Gargano and Taylor they had that he was their teammate and they not to kick his ass or something. But it was awesome. I mean, I only saw half the show, but it was awesome. It was wacky. They had at least 1,200 people there. They had the biggest crowd by far, and that was awesome. And then we had to catch the limo. But yeah, it was cool, and it was great seeing like all the guys. A bunch of regulars were there. You know, Doc G was there. Alan Forrell, who's the happiest I can't say little because he's like 7 feet tall. But Alan Forrell is like the happiest dude in the world, and he loves to talk wrestling. And they even watched the Japanese pay-per-view one morning, and he was there with Pingu Girl, who's awesome. And she's super cool. Sinbad and his wife were there. Slick Rick, Pro Bro were there. They've been to like the last few. Your Gay was there. Or the man forever known as Your Gay, thanks to Granny. And there's a lot of people. I mean, I can't even remember everybody's name. Freeway and Jessica were there. They've been to like the last few Vegas trips. I think this is their first Mania trip. Oliver Kopp was there. I can't tell you what Oliver Kopp was telling us, but Oliver Kopp was telling us secrets on the limo right back. And it's just anyone who ever talks to Oliver Kopp, he's a jet setter traveling all over the world, and he has hundreds of thousands of stories, and he's just a nice guy, and it's always awesome that he knows Oliver Kopp. So
he's in Seattle awesome. Tonight.
Yeah, he is in Seattle. He told me he was going to the Twin Peaks Festival and then the Big Lebowski Festival, I think. I don't know if those are going on now, but I know he was going to go to those coming up. But, yeah.
I hear he knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He does. He knows a lot of stuff. And he wasn't here telling us wrestling stuff. He was telling us UFC stuff, but it was some crazy stuff. And, yeah, it's awesome. And he made that the limo ride back awesome. And, speaking of, like, right before we caught the limo, we were at that Philadelphia hotel, and it's like, you know how, like, a Suburban pulls up, and you can tell it's car service. So some guy walks up, starts talking to the driver, and then DDP just comes walking out, walks around, jumps in the thing. And then it turned out the guy who was the spokesperson for DDP was Johnny Fairplay. So they jumped in the Suburban and took off. So Johnny Fairplay is still being a wrestling mark like he used to be for Roddy Piper, but now he's that for DDP, I guess. And that was just random. And then when we were there, I'm standing there and I'm looking to the side and I see this girl who's got her back to us. And I'm thinking, man, she's got some big, big hair and she looks fine in that dress and high heels. And I'm like, man, this girl looks like Shelly Martinez. And then sure enough, Shelly Martinez turns around and walks away with her boyfriend. And I just like, hey, Shelly. And she just smiled at me and waved. And her and her big, very intimidating boyfriend walked away. And that was a trip. And, yeah, it was just a great trip in general. I mean, the food was decent. We got to have street vendor hot dogs. And I just remember I walked back to where Brian was, and Brian's like, are you going to eat that? I go, yes. And then Derek Garvey's like, and I've seen them drop them on the floor and stick them back in the water or whatever. And I'm like, this hot dog's good. Stop talking to me. I don't want to hear it. I'm still going to eat the damn hot dog. But that was cool. And Central Park was awesome. We went to like the John Lennon Memorial part of it. The museum was pretty cool. I think if we ever go to a city that has museums and shit like Central Park and shit like New York, we need to go halves on a scooter, Craig, because I was about ready to die in that goddamn museum. I basically, after we were there for a couple few hours, I sat down on a bench and I was like, just save yourselves. Just go, save yourselves. And luckily, the guy who gave us all the directions, Earl, hung out with me for a while on the bench while everyone deserted me to go look at paintings, and then finally they made their way back. But that museum was huge. It would have killed you, Craig. Like I say, I wish I would have had a scooter or something. So, but that was a cool time, and basically everything about, I mean, you really missed out, Craig. I mean, I know you got your honeymoon thing coming out, but you actually probably could have got away was using New York as a honeymoon. And my WrestleMania trip started with right before I boarded the plane. I get a text from Vinny saying, Ed, I need help. I left my tickets at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, dude, I'm boarding. Let me get to where I'm going, and then I'll shoot you email. But you might as well try and have someone go get them and send them to you or something. But luckily, he got that taken care of. And he was just having bad luck this whole trip. I mean, he's getting pickpocketed. He's late for everything. He forgets his WrestleMania ticket. I mean, he was a disaster. And then, you know, thankfully I was there so I could lead Brian by hand basically where he needed to be and where to go. And, you know, but I got to give the little dude credit. He actually put me over for a change. And left me speechless, so I won't rip on the little movie too much, other than he cost me $75, but, you know.
Speaking of speechless, you need to throw out some plugs, by the way.
Oh, yeah, so everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download the Jim Mark Show at angrymarks.com, with a lot of other shows, like the Angry Mark Show and a whole lot of other shows, and you can always check out our show at blogtalkradio.com/Contrere. Older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. You can follow me on Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio. And I guess that's it. If you take a bunch of pictures from WrestleMania, be prepared because I'm going to show all the best ones and make a super album in the next few days.
You can follow me at Proper Jam, that's P-R-O-P-E-R, J-A-M, and everybody check out
teamviggity.com. That's personal trainer advice from a great, great man.
Yeah, a great, great man who was molesting little Tammy Koala Bears. I saw it on Facebook. It was disgusting.
Trent?
Yeah, what?
Anything to plug, my good man.
Oh, YouTube.com/Contreras. I got a bunch of stuff up there. I put up, recently I put up, like, just about all the WWF Championship Wrestling shows from 1984. You can watch those. First episode of WWF Superstars of Wrestling from 86 is up there. A bunch of good stuff, so you can go there and watch it.
Cool. Well, I guess I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting anything, which I'm sure I am, but I'll just bring it up next year. I will say I was the only one at the gatherings wearing their Granite Gang shirt. But I'll go through my brain and see if I can come up with some more stories for next year. But other than that, we'll be back, I guess, next Friday. And
whoa. You might need
what?
To do it at a different time next Friday.
Well, you could tell me that before I start throwing the plugs out. So anyway, maybe we'll do it at a different time Friday. I guess if Craig has better things to do.
Yeah, I'm going to see Prince.
Oh, well, I thought Craig had something better to do, but apparently Craig doesn't. But he makes this movie show. So we'll figure it all out. We'll let everybody know.
Hold on, I'm not done. I'm still talking. I'm going to see Prince with Vince and Junior Horseman.
No, Vince is starting out early.
In a small club. One of the smallest clubs.
Vince is like an hour early. Telling you right now.
How about 2 hours early?
That's probably perfect.
Or maybe I just won't show up at all. How about that?
probably won't make a difference, but anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Okay.
Alright.
Okay,
well,
to be announced, the show next week.
I don't know.
So, anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Play the music.
Alright, well, the chair already hung up on us, so I am going to play something else. I mean, you know, it's probably going to take me too long to get there, but fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. Anyway, if you watched Raw, you will definitely have heard this song, and I'm going to end with this, and hopefully it'll come out too, because I'm playing it off my computer and not the switchboard. So here we go. Any minute now. Oh, and I'm gonna fucking mute like a dumbass. Okay.